There was a somewhat rather famous lecturer by the name of Joel Barker. He lectured a lot on leadership and gave a lot of leadership type lectures, not particularly Christian. And he made a comment one time. He said, and he built his whole work around it. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. You hear that? Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. And vision with action can change the world. Not enough just to have good ideas, is it? At some point, you have to take the ideas out of your brain, off the page, and put those ideas to work. We all have dreams. We all have goals for our life. And, you know, when we think of a new year and the beginning of a new year, and you think of the resolutions that we often make, mostly in passing as we begin a new year. Things we want to do, things we want to be. And most of all, most of those that we've made, maybe here, what is it, the fourth? Some of them we've already broken, right? They've already gone by the wayside. Some of them we are still gritting our teeth and hoping that we can get to work on it maybe tomorrow morning. A goal or a dream that exists only on paper or only in our imagination or only in some spoken promise is nothing more than a whim. It becomes a life vision when you decide that you're going to invest the time, you're going to invest the energy, the effort, and the money to make it happen. And that's true for you and me, and that's true for us as a church. For example, you know, some people dream of being happily married with a fulfilling family life, all the fantasies of that, all the good dreams of that. But they're not willing to invest in it. They're not willing to pay the price of a happy home life. It will cost. And that's because happy families don't just happen. They don't just happen. A good marriage is not a result of good luck. It's a result of commitment and determination and perseverance and sacrifice and obedience to biblical principles. It involves a series of steps that we must take, and there really aren't any shortcuts, as much as we would like to have them. Some people dream of financial security, but they're not willing to fully invest in that as well. They want to be able to spend their money on whatever they want to spend it on, whatever fancy comes their way. And they want the economy and their employer and the government to provide that security. You know, we have a real problem in the world you and I live in with entitlement. Someone owes me attitude. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't really work. Financial security is a result of, just like a good marriage, it's a result of commitment and determination and perseverance and sacrifice and obedience to biblical principles. It involves a series of steps that we need to take. And like a good marriage, there really aren't any shortcuts. Some people dream of being successful, of making their mark in the world in some sort of a special way. That's a worthwhile dream. But a great life, a successful life, just doesn't appear out of nowhere either. If you want to leave this world better than you found it, it requires commitment and perseverance and determination and sacrifice and obedience to biblical principles, just like all the rest. A series of steps that must be taken. And yes, there are no shortcuts. So let me ask you this morning, what is your dream? What is your vision? How do you see yourself? Who are you? Who do you want to be? What is your vision about? What is your dream about? Is it family? Is it job? Is it your personal life? Your spiritual life? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? In order for a vision to be realized, we must be willing to take the necessary steps to make it happen. We just talked about that. The question is, how do you get from the place when you're dreaming about a victory to the place when you're celebrating a victory? That's the journey. That's the journey. And this morning, I want to give us a couple of biblical truths that will help make our dream, our vision, a reality. The very first one is, surround yourself with the idea, with the vision. Saturate yourself with it. Let it be the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about at night. Let it be your goal. What is your goal? What do you want to do? If somebody were to walk up to you and say, what is your vision? What would you like to be doing with your life? I know that's a big question. It's a very complicated question. It has lots of little facets in it. But could you tell them anything? Most of us would kind of have to ponder a while, wouldn't we? And so what I want to encourage is that we shouldn't have to ponder. Think about it. Think about it a little bit. What would your answer be? Your quick answer. Your spontaneous answer. Oh, it won't cover every issue. Surely it won't. But it should cover something. We've all heard the Bible, this Bible verse that I've read this morning, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James Version. Let's unpack that verse just a little bit. You may notice that in the NIV, which was the passage that's in your pew Bible, the word vision is translated revelation. Same word. In the ESV, it was prophetic vision, which I think just complicates it even more. But that's what they translate. Then the New Living Translation, which I think maybe got it right, they call it divine guidance. Divine guidance. Now, it's meant to be followed. Don't get me wrong. Guidance isn't a divine suggestion. It's divine guidance. Notice where God wants you to go. And that's why in the last part of the verse, happy are you if you obey the law. You know, that's your divine guidance. The Word of God, that's our divine guidance. Those biblical principles we talked about, I've already talked about with a happy marriage and a successful life. That's your divine guidance. You'll be content there. You won't be happy anywhere else. That's the truth of the Lord. But if you look at this revelation or this divine guidance, that's because a believer needs to be guided by God. We need to be guided by His purposes and His directions. God just didn't wind us up and stick us on this old earth and say, just live out your days. A lot of us think that's true. A lot of us think that our success is based on our efforts or our happiness is based on our efforts. And that's a lie of Satan. That's not the truth of God. Not the truth of His Word at all. Not just something we think up to do. Not just something that we decide on our own that makes good sense. Divine guidance is God's guidance, God's purpose, God's plan. You know, we talk about having a vision for our life. And what we really are talking about is connecting somehow with God's plan for our life. You know, and I didn't have that when I was young. Nobody sat me down and said, you know, you need to be thinking about God's plan for your life. You know, you don't go off to college to think about God's plan for your life necessarily, do you? No, you got to talk about that a little bit earlier. What does God want you to do? And then you put all the other steps in place to fulfill that purpose. Maybe it would be a surprise to know that your vocation, your job, your work is so that you can do the work of God. You thought it was to feed the family, didn't you? Or to buy that new car, or to live in a fancy house, or whatever. No. Your vocation is to enable you to do the work of God. And boy, if we could get that in our brain, if we could just live that way, what a change, what a transformation it would make in the way we live. See, our life isn't just about our goals. It isn't about what we want. It's about what He wants. What does God want? What does God want from my life? What does God want from our church? Where is God taking us? Not where we think we ought to be, but where does God want us to be? What does God want us to do? Not what do we want to do, what does God want us to do? You know, if we put Him in the driver's seat of all these decisions, then it takes a lot of burden off of ourselves, really. Really, it really does. Think about it. Let God be the driving force into who we are and what He wants us to do. The Bible says that King David served God's purpose in his own generation. That's what we're to do. Serve God's purpose in our own generation. God has a purpose for you and me in our generation. He has something He wants us to be doing and to be about individually and collectively. He has a plan for you. He has a vision for your life. And when people don't take the opportunity to connect with that plan and connect with that vision, the Bible says they perish. That's a pretty hard word. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's look at that word in that paragraph. In the NIV, it's translated, the people cast off restraint. And I didn't really know what that meant exactly. You may not either. The references in my Bible sent me back to Exodus. Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, and the people were down at the bottom of the hill going crazy, weren't they? Building a golden calf and dancing around and doing all sorts of things which weren't very pleasing to God at all. They cast off restraint. They were running wild, another translation, the Christian Standard Translation says. And something about knowing God's purpose for your life keeps you on target, keeps you focused a little bit more. It's sort of like guardrails on the highway. They keep you generally in the middle of the path. Oh, you can bump them and bang them, and you can get dented up. But generally, you're okay if a guardrail keeps you in the road. Much better off than when you go off the side. So how many times have we found ourselves running wild? I know. We don't need a show of hands on that one. You know, going in this direction, going in that direction, over here one day and over there the next. No idea what we're supposed to be doing or where we're supposed to do it. You know, it was probably the change of my life when I discovered that when I lost control and lost contact of my relationship with God, with my plan of life, when I was out there running wild, when I was casting off restraint, when I was getting a little too chummy with sin, you know, I know you never do that. When I grabbed a hold, though, of God's vision, that's when those temptations would cease. That's when those things that used to knock me down were still there, but they quit knocking me down. They lost their power because I was in the center of God's will. I was following His purpose. And it's the same for all of us. It's the same for all of us. If we're fighting a losing battle, if you're fighting a losing battle with some, what they call besetting sins, one of those sins that you just can't seem to shake off. It just keeps dragging around like a little puppy. Every time you turn around, it's right there, right there, right there. The thing that can help you big time with those kinds of nagging sins is to embrace fully God's vision for your life. Start walking in His direction. Oh, that little puppy will follow. He'll try to follow. But he doesn't want to go down that path. And he won't stay long. Get a clear, uncluttered image of who you can be and what you can do through God's power at work in your life. Let it saturate your heart. Let it saturate your soul. Let it be absorbed in your mind. And when God's purpose becomes more real to you than your next breath, petty temptations will lose their power. Guarantee it. That's because without revelation, without that divine guidance, people lose restraint. And with divine guidance and revelation and vision, people use restraint. It's that simple. Without the divine guidance, we tend to run wild. With divine guidance, we tend to run to win. Without a vision, the people perish. With a vision, people find life. A God-purposed life. Surround yourself at every opportunity with the idea of what God wants to accomplish in your life. Of the person that God wants you to be. Second action that we need to take is to do this every day. If God has given you a vision for what He wants you to accomplish in life, you can be sure of one thing. It's a vision worth repeating. It's a vision worth taking a hold of and focusing on day after day after day, moment after moment after moment. Every day you need to take steps that move you forward in the direction that God wants you to go in that journey. It's a life journey. It's not something that happens overnight. Decide which daily steps you need to take in order to get from where you are to where God wants you to be and where you want to be. What steps do we need to take as a church to be where God wants us to be and where we want our church to be? We need to be doing that. And that's more than just all of us collecting together, you know. That's doing stuff as a group, as a corporate group. And there's so much potential, so much opportunity. And we do a lot of things. It's not like we just sit around and do nothing. Oh, no, we don't do nothing by a long shot. You can get wore out here pretty quick. But there's so much more that God could have us do. So much other places that God might want us to go. So some places that God might want us to be instead of some places where we are. It's a matter of His focus and His plan. Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's a key truth. Daily. The word daily, it means we have to do it every day, right? Not just on Sunday. Not just Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No, every day. Every day. This day and every day, seek to fulfill God's purpose in our life. Seek to follow His will and His plan. A third step is settle in for the long haul. There was a fairly famous preacher who had a very, very large church, probably one of the largest churches in the country in its day, up in northwestern Chicago area, Willow Creek Church. His name was Bill Hybels. And he wrote a lot of books and did a lot of things. And Hybels once said that if he was on his deathbed, one of the last things he would say to church leaders, like you and me, is that we need to settle in for the long haul. settle in for the long haul. The Christian life, in fact, all of life, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Our problem, yours, mine, is that we would like to get to where we're going sooner rather than later. And I'm not a patient person particularly. God has taught me patience the hard way, you know. I like to get things done. I like to get things done now. It's like the little prayer that Dennis the Menace had, that we had on our refrigerator for a long, long time, was, Lord, teach me patience. Give me patience. Give it to me now. You know, right now. We want to get to where we're going sooner than we deserve to be there. We want success, and we want it now. We want happiness, and we want it now. We want fulfillment, and we want it now. And when we don't get it, when we don't get it now, we're tempted to throw in the towel, or we're tempted to blame someone else for the problem rather than ourselves, or we're tempted to alienate everybody around us because we're just running over them, following our plan instead of God's plan. Near the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he wrote one of the most powerful words in the New Testament, I believe. He said, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." We hear that at funerals all the time. This is not a funeral. This is a possibility here. "Now," he says, "there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day." Not today, that day. That day. This should be the goal of every one of us. To be able to say, I finished the task, Lord. I heard your voice and I followed best I could your will. I saw it through and I did not quit. I did not quit. William Blake, a British poet, once wrote, "Mistakes are easy. Mistakes are inevitable. But there is no mistake so great as the mistake of not going on." In my life, I've made more mistakes than I'd like to admit. More than I could certainly even count. Related to anything you can imagine, and you can probably fit pretty much in that same model, you know, if you start listing things. There are times when I've lost ground. Times when I gained ground, but I stayed in the game. And that's God's will for us, to stay in the game. Only the one who can finish the race is the one who refuses to quit the race. As Babe Ruth used to say, you can't beat the person that never gives up. The writer of Hebrews puts it a little more spiritually, in 12:1, when he says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The only way to ensure that your vision becomes the reality that God wants it to be is through dogged endurance and unyielding perseverance. That means you take steps toward the goal today, and you take those tiny steps day after day after day. Even though they're small, they will add up. It means you resolve to take steps toward that goal for the rest of your life until you reach the goal, as long as you have life within you. The writer of Hebrews goes on in the very next verse in 12:2. He says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." When you surround yourself with the vision of God's purpose and you let that vision saturate your life, you're not just fixing your eyes on a goal, something that you think would be nice. You're fixing your eyes on whom you serve, on the one who created us, who breathed life into our bodies, who has called us with a purpose. He's the one who has called us to greatness. And He's the one who can get us to the finish line. It's my prayer that God will capture our hearts with a dream of who we can be and where we can go and what we can do for His glory, both as individuals and as a church. God, increase our vision so that we will aspire to do great things for You. God, help us to share our vision so that we can take others with us on the journey into a great life of living for You. God, help us live our vision every day, day in, day out, until we cross the finish line, until our race is done. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed, happy is he who keeps the law, God's word, God's truth, God's purpose.